can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Speaking to the microphone today, it was a bit faint last
week.
Well,
I'm a little...
Don't worry about what you are a little. Just
well,
speaking to the
microphone. Driven in here early morning in the dark. There is nothing more... I haven't done this before. Coming in at peak hour traffic into Melbourne.
Yes.
At 6 in the morning to do this podcast. I'm buggered.
All right.
Well, I mean, you don't... You just come from... Your unit just up the road.
Yeah.
There's no traffic. You drive through the traffic, peak hour, people going everywhere. It's in the dark. I didn't realise I can handle it through the day. But dark is a different thing at night.
So hour. I think we're about square.
What do you mean?
That's one set all new balls.
What do you mean
you
one
drive
set
up all? There in the traffic. I spend most of the night preparing all this, thinking
no,
of topics
don't.
I can ask you and
no, you
questions
don't.
That we're going to ask our guest.
You're just a transmitter for SEN, or not SEN, CNN. What's that show you look at, that news problem, that new American news?
Fox or CNN or what?
Yeah, that's all you are, a transmitter for them. So don't say you sit down and prepare stuff.
Yeah, oh, all right. Well, anyhow, so we'll just do this quickly.
What?
Two great books we have, this is just by way of two great books that we have received over the journey in the last year. One of them was The Boys Club. Till we get onto The Boys Club in a minute. And the other was Climate Change, a Natural Hazard. Now, I only bring that up. This was by William Kenninmonth.
Yeah.
Climate Change, a Natural Hazard. You won't believe what's going on the planet, Don.
Oh, what?
Well... For a start, Paris, France, they have banned short-haul jet flights, like from here to Sydney, one-hour jet flights.
Why?
Because they're trying to save the planet by not having emissions out of the jets. They're going to ask you to get the very fast train.
That's not a bad idea.
No. So if you want to slap on down to the...
It's like a tomcat.
Your concentration.
Well,
someone's walked in. Listen to me, man. This is what happens. You just drive up in the traffic with your brain in neutral. It never gets out of neutral, your brain. You're mesmerised and your concentration is sapped by the most minuscule things. Listen to me. This is... We had a great book called Climate Change, a Natural Hazard by William Kenninmonth. Paris have banned short-haul jet flights.
That's good.
So if you want
Paris.
So if you want to
schlep down
to the railway station and get on a train.
Have you been on those trains across France? I have. Travel from Switzerland
so
through to Paris and then over to London. It's a terrific ride. You see the country. I wouldn't fly.
So the point of saying
well
this...
Well done, Paris, France.
So the point of saying this, Don, is you didn't let me finish, as always.
You haven't got a story.
Do you know what they haven't banned?
What?
Private jets. So all the upper echelon, all the social elites,
there's not many of those.
Oh!
There's not many private jets in comparison.
See, this is what happens when you live
under... Have you
got
a jet? You've put all your money into
this
cars,
this is what
haven't
happens
you?
When you live under a rock.
How much you
rock?
Got in cars out the back there?
This is what happens when you live under a rock down on a little
by
farm.
By yourself? By
and
yourself?
You tamp around with the horses by yourself. You have no idea what's
and
going on.
And hanging baskets.
Private jets.
Jets.
Private jets.
Jets or jets?
Absolutely. There's thousands of them by people who insist
what's
on climate change, who are activists for climate change
what's
and fly all over the world in private jets. So Paris have banned short-haul flights. Wait till it comes in here and you have to get a bus up to Sydney for half a day or a whole day. So they've banned short-haul jet flights, but they haven't banned private jets.
Oh,
can you believe it?
No, I can't. Jeez, it's unbelievable.
So have a listen to this.
Fuck.
So this is in the name of, because they think we're ruining the planet by climate change, which is...
Who's they?
The activists.
But no, hang on.
Ireland, now Don, please. Do you know what you do? You sit there and you have no idea what I'm saying because I don't tell you. No. And you sit there and you interrupt on the most ridiculous things. I said activist. Oh, you said activist. So what activist? Activists, climate activists. So don't be infuriating, not to me, but to the listener.
Oh, I see.
So have a guess what Ireland are doing.
No, tell me.
Ireland. Have you heard of Ireland?
No. Where is it?
See, this is, you have no information, you have no knowledge. This is in the news. They're going to slaughter 200,000 cows.
Yeah, for methane. Yeah, to stop That's methane. That's right.
This is, can you believe they're going to slaughter 200,000 cows in their attempt to meet their global emissions target?
There might be a shortage of meat on the European market and they're going to cash in.
This is the Irish. No wonder we make jokes about the Irish. I mean, seriously.
You know you can trap methane and turn it into gas and power things with
it. Yeah, methane gas, that you can too. That was similar to, remember I said that they were going to put diapers on cows so that when that they farted, it trapped the gas inside a big diaper that they strapped onto the back of cows? You said, oh, you made
They've
that
made
up.
Diapers. They've invented diapers for horses. Did you know that? So when you're travelling the horse, it doesn't shit on the floor of the truck.
Yeah, well, they haven't put diapers on cows for that reason, Don. So that's that. The other thing that we're saying is, particularly in this country, that energy prices are going to go sky high for the foreseeable future, into the long-term foreseeable future, if that's not an oxymoron, if that's not a contradiction in terms, because the obsession to use renewable energy, that's solar and wind, to power and batteries to power everything, is so expensive that household energy supplies are going to skyrocket. So that's all right.
And there might be, did you realise it could be blackouts this year in the middle of winter?
Yes.
Because the power grid is not able to handle the demand.
Yes, because we are reducing coal-fired or any other form of powered energy sources in chasing our tail for the ridiculous notion that renewable energy can power the country or the state or the planet.
I made a start to overcome that, you know.
What's that, Don?
You got to stay warm through winter.
Yep. How have you done that, Don?
Woolen jumpers, Johnny.
Woolen jumpers.
Remember woolen jumpers instead of these fleecy lined shit that we wear nowadays?
Yep. People in third world countries don't have a great access to woolly jumpers.
We should be producing more wool.
Oh, well, no, we're not allowed to do that. Well, because sheep fart and we're trying to get rid of livestock and animals.
What about the plastic clothes we wear? Where do they go? Fast food. The stuff you've got on is full of nylon.
Wear plastic clothes.
Well, you've got nylon. That's an artificial fibre. What are you going to do with that? Fuck up the thing when you get rid of it? You can't. It's not biodegradable.
Well, Don, this is the contradiction. This is the catch 22, is the fact that we're trying to get rid of all things that eat grass and fart and put methane into the atmosphere, like cows and sheep. And yet, if you don't have sheep, you don't have wool, do you? I don't know that you get wool from any other source, do you? Unless you get Angora. Do you? Anyhow, thanks. So this is where we're headed, Don. We're being led by the nose, like all the cows and beef and bulls are led by the nose of the big ring through their hooter.
Do you think climate change is responsible for the earthquakes that have been around Melbourne recently?
Climate change. I don't think the climate reaches into the depths of
you
the
don't
planet.
Don't think so.
No.
So what it shows is the world is ever evolving, and we've got no control over nature, and we live on a fault line. And you see the old extinct volcanoes down around Western Victoria and where else? There's one where I live. Actually, there was an earthquake down at Mornington last
week.
Well
said, Don.
And
well said.
We will finish up the world and just go bang one day.
Bang, will it?
Well,
if a meteor doesn't drop out of the planet and blow us to smithereens.
That's right.
Hence my advocacy, Don, for this great book by William Kanin Month, Climate Change, A Natural Hazard. He's spot on, and you've just You've just...
You realise there's ads on climate change on our podcast?
Right,
side?
That was the next thing I was going to say. A friend of ours alerted us to this.
Is she a friend? Is it a she or he?
Well, she might want... I don't know mention her name.
No, how do you know it's a her?
What? Well, because I know the person who sent us the text. I know that it's not a they. I know it's a she.
But the name...
Her pronouns are she.
Yeah, but the...
Her
the
and
Christian
she.
Name is a little bit...
Christian name?
It's quite masculine.
No, it's not.
Jack. If Jack's not masculine, I'll go he.
But it hasn't got a K on the end of it.
Doesn't matter.
It's short for the proper elongated Christian name.
What, John?
Jack, J-A-C.
Jack and John are the same.
Don, I know you probably do this to infuriate me, but people think you are absolutely, they think that you are so fucking dumb. Jack, J-A-C is an abbreviation for the longer name. If you can work it out, yeah. She mightn't want us to mention her name. But
okay.
No, I'm happy to, but...
No, don't.
Anyhow, she listens, or apparently...
Does she?
Well, she said, did we realise that Podbean, you know, the platform that we keep saying we're on Podbean, iTunes, Spotify...
Oh, right.
Whatever the other things are, Apple...
He said that we had a good podcast last week too.
What?
He...
He who?
Jack.
Jack
sent me a text
Jack's
too.
Jack's a female. She's got two X chromosomes. Oh. That makes her a female. She said that Podbean are advertising climate change ads on our podcast.
Shit!
So could what? I just say to Podbean, if you're listening, and to the people who listen to this, we don't agree, we don't subscribe,
mate,
we have not given
Rumble,
permission
mate.
To Podbean to advertise on our platform.
I think we're done.
If they piggyback on our platform and want to push points of view that we don't agree with, go right ahead. But we don't advocate that you take any notice of the Podbean ads that are about climate change on this platform.
Well, we're finished.
On this platform.
You've just finished us in one foul sweep.
One foul sweep. Do you know what the word is, Don? It's one fell swoop. You said
fell.
Fell. F-E-L-L. Not foul. One fell swoop. You just said one foul sweep. No wonder people think you're a moron. I keep saying he's not actually as fucking stupid as he sounds.
Fucking
and people
stupid.
Say, what?
Fucking stupid.
Yeah. I use the F word, Don,
yeah,
to emphasise the point.
Adjective.
If I just said you were stupid, people say, oh, he's probably stupid. If I say he's really fucking stupid, they say, well, he must be stupid. So it's one fell swoop, not one foul sweep. So we don't advocate you take any notice of the Podbean ads about climate change because we're not party to it. So now
I have worked hard for its topics this week, and you're just dominating.
Did you know? Well did you know also that they're thinking now? Can anyone help save our lives except ourselves? They're now thinking of manufacturing cars that have their headlights permanently on, so that
not a bad idea.
Why?
Not a bad idea.
Why to have full headlights on in the middle of the day? Why?
Because some of the colours of the cars just melt into the background.
Meld. You said a man said that I was some long-worded name.
Yeah, what was
that
word?
I just use long words.
What was his name? Nick Byrne. Come on, Nick.
Nick,
you help me?
Nick, could I?
Nick. N-I-C-K.
I said Nick. I said Nick. Could I just point out the fact, mate, that if Don can say one foul sweep instead of one fell swoop.
Nick Buck. No wonder.
What?
Blackballed you at Commonwealth.
No, he didn't.
Because
I've never tried to be a member of
Commonwealth.
I've never been and tried
Royal
to
be... Royal Melbourne.
Don, please. You just make stuff up. I'm happy to concede anything that you say that's factual, but you're not factual. You're speaking shit, as usual.
See, because of your image, you got to drive all the way down to bloody Boneo, Fingal, to play golf. If you're a little nicer, you could play just closer to home.
I do play closer to home.
Very prestigious. Which would fit your image, being a Geelong Crammage boy. Geelong, what
I might run
Grammar
in,
boy.
I might run into the Hawthorn president who asked us to play golf at Royal Melbourne.
If you're going to do that, you've got to organise a tea time with him because he's pretty busy.
Yeah, he'd be pretty busy at the minute. What's his name? Trevor Gowers.
No, that's his father, played at Richmond.
What's his name? Gowers?
Trevor.
No, Gowers. Jesus.
Billy.
Billy Gowers, is he the president of Hawthorn?
No, that's his son.
Well, what's his name? Gowers. Andrew Gowers. Andrew Gowers. I think it's Andy Gowers.
Billy Gowers played for Footscray, didn't he?
Anyhow, he's got his hands full with a matter that's going on at Hawthorn.
He's a member of Point Lonsdale too, your old home ground.
Do you know who we should get on the line?
Who?
And have a chat to shortly, if we can? We'll ring up Jeff Kennett.
Why?
Well,
don't bug him. He's probably busy.
He would be busy. I think he's taken the AFL for a round or two with the can you believe the people who accuse you of doing something do it themselves? They got head of the AFL decided that Clarkson and Fagan and Hawthorn had no case to answer. There was nothing going on there, and suddenly the people, the advocates who are driving the Hawthorn racism saga, decided that they'd go to the International Court of Human Rights, and suddenly the AFL have bounced back and said they're going to open a investigation. And while we say Climate Change, A Natural Hazard is a great book, we still say the great book that Michael Warner wrote about the Boys Club, what a fantastic book that was. And when it came out, I think there's another person, is it Luke Sayers?
Yeah.
Is he
Carlton president.
How would Luke Sayers be going? Mr. McLaughlin's a fine and doing a great job. At the Boys Club, Luke Sayers is overseeing the demise of Carlton as we speak.
And also PwC, isn't he?
PricewaterhouseCoopers. 28 years he's been in there. And how is the governance of the AFL going when you've got the head of the AFL saying, oh, no one's got any case to answer, and suddenly the thing erupts again at Hawthorn? Do you think this is a push at Hawthorn, a push for reparations?
Money?
Yep.
Of course it is.
Of course it is. And isn't
now, did you realise there's a fourth person involved? We've been talking about Fagan, Burt and Clarkson. There's a fourth person
and isn't
involved.
That
just went right over your head.
No,
there's four people involved in this.
No, it hasn't gone over, mate. It is a push for reparation or for restitution, financial. And isn't it unfortunate that the person who has been part of the drafting all this and getting it together is a bloke called, I think his name is it Leon Egan?
No, hang on. No, you didn't play against him.
I said, is it Leon Egan? Isn't he part of the
author?
No,
he's at Hawthorn. He was the indigenous.
That's right, and he is part of this whole saga.
I wonder if he's related to Phil Egan, who wrote the report.
What?
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? You bought it, Egan.
What did you say?
Phil Egan.
Who's the
wrote the report, and you mentioned Leon Egan at Hawthorn. I wonder if they're related.
You're sure Leon Egan is not the person who wrote the report?
No, that's Phil Egan. Phil Egan played for Footscray.
Yep.
And he's a little bit of trouble, Phil, at the moment.
What over?
Oh, I suppose, has he been charged by the police for something about something to do with the Indigenous community up around Mildura?
Is this the person? It said, Egan was taken into police custody on Tuesday after an investigation into the management of an Aboriginal organisation.
That's Phil Egan.
He is accused of fraudulently obtaining hundreds of thousands of dollars
Phil
from
Egan,
the Murray Valley Aboriginal Cooperative.
Who wrote the report. And Tom Brown goes up there to get a report from Channel 7. What credibility would you have by getting his view when he's got a charge like this? I know he hasn't been proven guilty, but they're charging
him. No, he hasn't been, I don't think, been proven guilty. But, Don, the fact that this comes out and he is charged with this, with fraudulently obtaining hundreds of thousands of dollars, and then you look at what's going on at Hawthorne, it is a push for reparations.
Of course it is.
And so why have... I tell you, we'll get Jeff on the... We'll try and get Jeff on the phone. Maybe he won't
pick it up to listen to us.
What's that?
He won't talk to us.
We'll just push on with this. So the people accuse you of doing things, always do them themselves. This is, remember, we just had to suffer the indignity of being charged with vilification over the most bogus charge you could get, and yet they're knee deep in it themselves. They have, Luke Sayers.
Well, what's he got to do with
it? Well, what is the governance of someone who's on PricewaterhouseCoopers? He's the right-hand man of right-hand man in the AFL.
No, he's not. He's the Carlton president.
No, he's right up there.
What?
No, if you looked at the invitation you got to the Hall of Fame, did you look at the Hall of Fame invitation? Well, that's signed by him.
Bullshit. Are you deadly
serious? He invites you to the...
Luke Sayers.
I think so.
No, he wouldn't. He's not at the... Luke Sayers. I'll go home and open the envelope.
If you got it,
what did you open it for?
Why did you come along?
No, I'm not going to that.
No, but I'm going to go along.
Why?
I'm going to just see how these buffoons operate.
What buffoons?
The buffoons running our competition.
Yeah, but...
No, it's good.
You know anybody can nominate for that.
You wait till we
you
go.
You know Billy's down the Smith. You can nominate him for Hall of Fame.
Do you reckon... Do you reckon at the Hall of Fame they'll do a welcome to country?
Oh, shit, yeah.
And do you reckon they'll have Auntie Joy there?
Yes.
Doing it. Do you reckon there'll be smoke and dancing?
No, I don't know about that.
Don't you know about
they'll
that?
Be welcome to country.
Eh?
They'll be welcome to country.
Well, if you...
Did you go to the Rembrandt thing last week?
Yeah.
Was there welcome to country?
Well, there was, but...
Well
that's... I'm glad you said that.
Why?
There was a welcome to country...
Why didn't you invite me? I would have liked to have seen that Rembrandt thing.
There was a welcome... I'm glad you mentioned that. So let me just...
Hang on. Well, where's my invitation to the Rembrandt exhibition?
It's been done.
Oh, thanks.
So here's the pay scale. If you want this, here's a job you might. You can't get it because you're not Indigenous. Here's the pay scale.
How do you know?
Hmm?
How do you know?
Oh, I'm just taking it on face value.
No,
all right.
Okay.
Here's the pay scale. Welcome to country pay scale. This is it. It's an official thing. This is it. If the welcome to country is a range guide between. This is what you got to pay Indigenous people to
Where
go.
Where did you get this?
This is an official price list of people. If you want,
what's the source?
Oh, Don,
no,
shut
come
the
on.
Fuck up. If you want, it says here, fees for welcome to country and smoking ceremonies are generally set by the land council's community, organisations or individuals such as local elders or representatives as listed below. Here is the pay scale. If you want a welcome to country, the range goes between $300 and $750 if you want an Indigenous person to come and welcome to your country. If you want a smoking ceremony, it's a range between $700 and $1,500. That's if you want a smoking ceremony. This is welcome to country. The standard fee is, I'm just reading this out, is $660, welcome to country and smoking $1,000, and a didgeridoo performance, a yidiki or something, or whatever that says, is $660. So, Don, you said, so that's the pay scale if you want someone to come and welcome you to country, welcome you to the country you actually live in and give you permission to live in the country that you've been here longer than any of those people welcoming you. So you said... Was there a welcome to country at the Rembrandt function? There was. It was done by a white woman who charged nothing to do for it. White people will... What? Well, white people will welcome you to country for no fee at all. I know plenty of people who do welcome to countries at all the functions, and they don't get paid. But if you are indigenous, that's the pay scale. So if you are short of, if you want to, I don't know, if you say you're indigenous or part thereof, Don, here's a chance to shore up your finances. Go and do welcome to country ceremony. You could do the smoking ceremony, you could do dances, you could put face paint on and dance around and give boomerangs and leaves to people. This would be a good way for you to supplement your income. You're a pensioner, aren't you? I'm sure you only got to identify as Indigenous, and they'll probably say, well, you're Indigenous, because if you can identify as a woman when you're a man, the sky's the limit. So I tell you what, so I don't know where this is headed with Hawthorne after the AFL said there was nothing to answer and none of the other people, and suddenly it's ramped up again because the activists are pushing it. And you know, no one ever said, no, they didn't come forward in the first place, but now that it looked like it was going to die and the AFL said there was nothing to show for it or nothing to answer, they've ramped up again. So quickly before, I tell you, I'm going to put a call into Jeff, because you told me there was something in the paper today about Jeff had written an article. But we'll just do a quick shout out before we, well, I'm going to try and ring him up. Dally M, have you heard of Dally M?
He's got the medal up in Sydney.
He's the great grandson of Dally M.
Oh, okay.
And he listens, and we're giving him a shout out, Don.
It's a terrific name, isn't it? Dally, D A. What is it?
D-A-L-L-Y. Married to American theatrical woman.
What his great grandfather was?
No, he is married to an American.
His great grandfather, I reckon, is a terrific name.
Dally Messenger.
Yep,
it is, and he's got the same name, but he's Dally Messenger III.
Just hang on. Obviously, he was a great rugby. Was he an administrator, rugby league player?
Dally M.
Yes. Or is he Charles Brownlow? Brownlow never played.
I knew you were on that track, Don. I knew you were on that track.
Yeah, geez, you're smart.
I am.
Smarter than the average bear. I thought you were a bloody dummy, but you are smart.
And he is celebrating the 50th anniversary of celebrancy.
What?
The 50th anniversary of celebrancy, not celibacy.
He hasn't had a root for 50 years.
So he was the first celebrant in Australia.
First to go celibate in Australia.
Not to go celibate, you fucking idiot. He is the first celebrant. He is not celibacy. He is the first...
Well, if you're advocating celibacy and you describe... You're a celebrant, aren't you? That's the noun.
Celebrancy has got an N in it. It's celebrant. He's a celebrant and it's the 50th anniversary of celebrant. C, not celibacy. I don't think he's abstained from throwing the leg, although he probably has.
How do you know?
But he probably has because he's about our age. And we've given it up, haven't we?
You might have.
I had a sixth sense someone was standing by.
I told you.
I saw her
the little cat.
I wasn't sure if she was still here. So she knows celebrant.
She
knows Dally M.
She,
I tell you, and he is celebrating is the. So these are the quick shout outs. I'm going to ring Kenneth shortly.
Get on to him, will you?
Hang on, Don. And then there was.
Would he be up at this hour of the morning?
Well, I don't know. I'll say, Jeff, is that you? So Mick, have a listen to this. Mick Christian.
Just get him on the phone.
Mick Christian wants us to have a listen to this. Mick Christian wants us to give us a shout-out to Harry from Hobart. He's bought two of our caps, signed caps, and this is what he says. I think there might be some truth in this. He says Harry from Hobart is going to wear the cap.
He's making, you're an idiot. He's just making
listen,
all this up.
He says Harry from Hobart. You don't even know what I'm going to say.
Yeah, Mick writes lines.
Harry from Hobart is going to wear the cap with he and his wife at the nude solstice swim. Do you know what a solstice is? A solstice is the...
Yeah, they go and swim in Tasmania.
But what solstice means?
Well, the shortest day of the year.
Yes.
And they go nude in the river down there.
That's he said in on June the 22nd, which is the...
You'd be hanging your few towels out to dry down there, wouldn't you?
What?
Well, you're getting in...
What, Don? Oh, I wouldn't think you'd be hanging any towels out to dry if you're going for a swim in freezing water.
If you're male, you could.
If you, not if you dive into freezing water, I don't think you're going to get a boner.
Oh.
I would suggest. Don, he is going to wear the cap down to the nude solstice swim in Hobart or wherever it is. I don't know where it is. On June the 22nd, which is the shortest day of the year. And after that... sunlight
get
starts.
Kenneth on the phone.
Sunlight
you?
Starts to increase by oh. how many minutes a day?
30 seconds.
No, I don't think so.
30 second increments, isn't it?
Is it? I thought it was 6 minutes. That's something we can look up. If the rocket was
get
here,
Klimath on the phone, will you?
Klimath,
Harry Klimath, the bloke who wrote the book.
William Kenenmont.
Oh, yes, get him on the phone. He'll tell us.
So. So that's a shout-out. And I'm giving a shout-out to Sam, who I met, a bloke called Sam. I met him. He was a maintenance man cleaning the car park floor in the tower I live in a machine. I don't know why they would think they got to do that, but he said, love the podcast. I said, I'll give you a call, Sam. Sam, his name is. So
what
that's
about him. Dr. Z in America with the lava soap? Have you thanked him? I bought you in a block this morning.
Yeah, I don't need
do you
the
get
lava soap.
What? You don't get dirty hands?
That's coffee over there.
Where?
Your friend. Sue has put...
I thought she was...
When Sue and Phoebe... it's going to be cold now, isn't it? When Sue and Phoebe... Sit down, Sue. When Sue and Phoebe were on, we had rave reviews... to Sue and Phoebe. Here we go.
Is Phoebe in this morning? Oh, Ben Sue, Ford. No, Ben Ford.
Stone motherless cold. You've been here for a quarter of an hour. Why couldn't you brought it over?
Give it to me and I'll have it.
No, I'm done. I'm going to warm it up in the microwave.
It's going to whinge.
Sure, fuck. Oh, fuck.
So,
oh, shit, don't muck around here.
Okay, so I've done the shout-out, the celebrant scene.
As long as you've got all
Sue
your
knows,
topics.
Sue knows the Dally.
Dally who?
Oh, fucking Dally who. Oh, belly high, belly ho, belly who. Dally M. Dally M's grandson, great-grandson. I said the Lord Mayor is... How's the Lord
Sally.
Mayor going?
Sally
how,
went
how,
to a...
How far has she gone to the left? She's thinking
yeah,
of banning...
She was always left, I
She's
reckon.
Thinking of banning cars in Melbourne.
She went to that Chinese meeting the other day that Dan had. You know, he wouldn't allow the press in.
Did she?
And he got up and spoke, and Sally was there as well.
Oh.
I wonder what they spoke about.
I wonder.
Isn't it interesting the Sun up in arms about Andrews not advertising community announcements through their outlet?
Mm. Yep.
That's only a loss of income, a loss of revenue. That's the only reason.
It is, Don.
We're all driven by money in this world, aren't we? I suppose it's important because we've got to live.
Now, Sue, how appropriate... I'm going to ring Kenneth shortly. Appropriate, Don.
Yes.
Sue told me this. It came up on the wires that there's a new sport being introduced. It's called Exposed Sports with a Z instead of an S at the end of sports. And it's a fans only. Do you know what a fans only website is? Mm. Well, you've got to pay to watch it because it's a bit raunchy and a bit...
What's a porn site?
Sort of. Soft porn. Anyhow...
What's the difference between soft and hard porn?
Well, I think hardcore porn is when a person gets bent over and gets given a nice seeing to by 8 or 9 members of the public or people who happen to be in the room at the time, man, woman or beast. Soft porn, I think, is when you're just fondling and touching and... Don.
That could be classed as intimacy or yes. soft porn. So anybody giving somebody a cuddle or a cuddle or embracing is a form of pornography.
I think this would be the scaled on. It'd go from cuddling and it'd go from kissing to cuddling to fondling to rooting to mass orgies to animals. Now, Don. Anyhow, this is a soft porn site. Sue showed me this. And it's where you where the fans only, you've got to subscribe, and people do these sports. This, listen to this. There's eight sports. Chess, Twister, whatever that is.
Yeah.
All right. You know what Twister is.
Well,
there.
That's that game you put it on the kids' play.
All right. Twist chess, yourself. Twister, bowling.
Strip jack naked.
Shut up, Don, please.
Well, that's soft porn.
I'm telling you what the sports are. Chess, Twister, bowling, I presume 10-pin, tennis, billiards, ping pong, basketball and jump rope. They're the eight sports and the women, that's women, do it in the nude.
What about the men?
Did you hear me say it's just women?
Oh, so this site's just for women.
It's a new sport.
No, but the site is
shut up
just
and listen.
For women, Sue.
No, the site's not for women. You can look be fans only, but you're only watching women do these sports.
You're not on that website, Sue.
No, but they're using the Instagrammers and the OnlyFans. They're using those athletes playing these games.
Instagram.
And obviously a subscription-based.
What? You've lost me, Sue, you've lost me.
I'll sign you up. Let's sign him up for a fan.
What for? Instagram?
Fans only, and you can watch women do all these sports, billiards.
We'll put him up.
What foot?
But
what
it's only women do it, isn't it?
No.
Don't they?
It's a woman's side.
So men are going to do all these sports nude?
No, the sports is going to be extreme. The exposed sports as women. But men can be on fans only.
You said it's a woman's only site.
Jiggy jig.
Jeez, I haven't heard of jiggy jig for a while.
No, we haven't been part
since
of jiggy jig
Fiji.
For a while. Don, you and
jiggy jig in Fiji.
What's that, Don?
That's what they say in Fiji. Jiggy jig.
In Fiji, it's peculiar.
Well, when I was on the boat,
it's peculiar to Fiji.
We used to cruise the Pacific Islands. That was the go.
Now look, if I don't know if he'll answer the phone. If I ring Kennett.
Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff, if I ring him, if you got anything to ask him, what would you ask him? I'd tell you.
I've got a million things.
Have you?
Yep.
First of all, we'll ask him, will I ring him?
Okay, give him a go.
Is this the phone hooked up here, Sue? I'm glad you're here.
I've got no idea.
What do you mean you got no idea? What am I ringing him on?
You ring him on your phone.
Here we go.
Come on.
Tell me if he answers. Oh, we've got to put the headphones on.
Oh, God.
Samuel?
Jeff?
Yes. Good morning.
Is this on? Hey, thanks for taking the call, Jeff. We were discussing the saga, and Don is here, and so is Sue Stanley. Don said, show me an article that you've written in the paper today. Could I ask you the first question? Did you meet with Gil McLaughlin yesterday, apparently, someone said?
Yeah, well, someone did say that.
That's common knowledge, is it?
Well, it is, because it seems to be out in the media, and the answer is yes, I did.
And why? I presume you're a bit ticked off at what is going on.
Well, if you read my article today, you can understand that I'm very disappointed in the way in which the Hawthorn Football Club is continually threatened with either fines or loss of draft picks, when, in my opinion, there is no grounds for such action, as the club has acted responsibly all the way through this awful, very disappointing saga.
So Don read the article because I got in and he showed it to me, and he has read it, and he's sitting here nodding opposite me here. How can the AFL come out, as I understand it, and say that no one had any case to answer or that the matter was ostensibly finished, and suddenly it goes, suddenly it just lights up again and it's exploded? How can that happen?
Well, you'd have to ask the AFL that, Sam. But
you would have asked him yesterday when you spoke to Gil, wouldn't you?
Well, I wouldn't tell you what I spoke to Gil about because, you and I have conversations and I don't go and repeat those publicly, and I have many conversations with many people. But let me go. Have you got a moment? Can I go back to the beginning?
Have we got a moment? My word, we have. Thank you for taking the call.
Righto. So first point, the Rioli family gave a story to The Age, and that indicated that they were racially abused at Hawthorn Football Club. As a result of that, which we didn't know about that, that was the first time we heard about it. As a result of that, we asked questions of all our past and present Indigenous players and staff to find out whether the Rioli experience was a singular issue or whether it was more widely spread. When we got the report, we were shocked at what some of the families had claimed. Some families did not participate in the questioning session at all, and our more recent and current players all found that Hawthorn was a culturally safe place to be playing football. When we got the final report, we involved the AFL. We gave the report to Integrity, the AFL Integrity body, as we're bound to do by the code within the AFL, and also one of the recommendations of the so-called Egan report.
So you self-reported?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Now, so we gave it to the AFL about before the AFL Integrity and Hawthorn had time to work out how we were going to address the allegations that were made. We got a call, or someone did at the club, because I was overseas at that stage, to say that some of the families are talking to the media, right? Now, yes. I don't know who told us that, but that happened. So a pivotal moment, because some of those who were told their stories to the Egan team of people who were doing it, actually then went to the media. And that story blew up 3 days after we gave the report to the AFL. So those families who spoke to the media has actually crueled the whole process for everyone. Those who they accused, the other families, and themselves. Because the moment they went public, a whole lot of things happened, which meant that due process and judicial fairness could not and did not take place. So whoever those families were who spoke to the ABC, not only did they cruel it for themselves and the other families, but they certainly abused and caused great damage to the three Hawthorn personalities that were named. And they also called into question Hawthorn and our practices, and certainly involved the AFL in what has now been 8 months of just tireless and unwarranted pain with no conclusion.
Jeff, can I ask you...
This is your old friend, Don.
Can I ask you, Jeffrey, why did you act on Ian Silk's reaction to the Cyril Rioli story, which had been around Hawthorn since Adam was a boy, and as president, you let him, well, he proposed, he chaired the meeting, and what checks and balances did you have in this process as to who Phil Egan was interviewing?
Right. When the Rioli story broke, the board was obviously upset, disappointed, and we met and we decided that we had to ask questions of the other players, past and present. Now, Don, it's a bit like the drug issue many years ago when I complained about the way in which the drug issue was run by the AFL, and I wasn't, as president, able to be told who the player was until the third strike, as opposed to the first and second. And I always argued that I, as president, wanted to know if any of my employees, players or staff, were in trouble so that I could check whether in their friendship group the same problems existed or how I could help that individual get to a better place. So when we heard about the Rioli claims, quite rightly, Ian Silk, as our Director of Culture and People, said, we've got to ask questions of our other Indigenous players as to whether this is widespread, these claims, or whether they just apply to the Rioli. So that step was one but, the board fully
But Jeff, Jeff, in all fairness, come on. It was a dad joke you made, and we've all made those in the past. Why would you react? There's a lack of real... There's nobody, hardly any player that's finished at AFL football that hasn't gone out with a beef. So yeah, we've all got a beef against the way we're handled or whatever else. So you're just running into a minefield. Why didn't you just cut it and shut it down right then and there?
Because, Don, it wasn't the genes issue that was caused any of any concern. That was portrayed as racist, and anyone who read or heard about it knew it wasn't. But the Rioli's made other claims in their article in The Age, which had a very strong, and it was portrayed by the journalist as a very strong allegation of racism within the club. So it was those reasons, not the genes, that was not the reason we decided to ask the questions. It was the other claims made by the Rioli.
Well, why wasn't more due diligence done on Phil Egan in the first place?
Well, again, as you know, if you're talking to Indigenous men and women, they respond better to questions from another.
I understand that.
He but had a bit of a cloud
as,
over
but hang
him.
On. As soon as he was appointed, the guys that I know from Richmond were laughing. Yeah, now, they're the guys that I played against and against, and I've got a rapport with them, and they knew what was going on.
All right. Well, Don, you asked me the question. The subcommittee of the board looked at, I guess, a range of organisations. Egan was only the head of one organisation. And all we were asking them to do was ask questions. They weren't there to establish the truth. They were simply there to get information for us to consider to determine whether the Rioli claims of racism in the club was widespread or not. So he was never... asked, he was never charged with the responsibility to go and speak to those that were mentioned or had accusations against them by the families. Now, it's very easy now, in hindsight, to say that we should have got another person or another Indigenous organisation. But the reality was, this was just asking an Indigenous organisation, it wasn't just Egan, he had a staff member, at least one with him doing it, asking questions. So we got to that stage, we got the report, we handed it over. We now are here in June 23. The inquiry has been wound up. I will argue very strongly against the AFL if they attempt to put any fines or restrictions on Hawthorn, because we've done the right thing. Where this went off the rails.
Is this what you had a conversation with Mr. McLaughlin about yesterday?
I can't remember.
Jeff.
Did you threaten him with legal action?
No, hang on. Jeff, why are you handling and speaking up? Where's Andrew Gowers? You're no longer the president of Hawthorn.
No, but I'm a Hawthorn member, have been for 50 years.
Yes, and I'm a member too, but I'm not speaking up. Why isn't the president speaking up as you are speaking up now?
Well, you'd have to ask him that.
Had him on the board. Is he capable of handling the situation?
Oh, please, I don't want to be subject of a lawsuit.
Well, you put him off the board, so obviously you didn't think he was good enough on the board, and now he's handling this for Hawthorn.
Don, can I just say, I think we are in a much better position right now. Thankfully, this inquiry, which has cost me...
What about answering my question?
Well, I'm not going to answer your question.
Okay, now, why did Gowers...
Well, don't shout at him.
That's the only way I'm getting her to get through, to get a question
listening.
In.
He'll listen.
No, he's a past performer. Now, Gowers entertained the fact last week in the paper of paying compensation. Yet on the Monday, the first time he's come out with any balls and said that Hawthorn, if this goes ahead from the AFL, he will, or they will consult lawyers, solicitors and whatever else. Do you think the board reined him in? Because he said one thing one week, then there's a weekend, and then on Monday he came out with some strong words for Andrew, from Andrew.
Don, you're a very good man, but you know...
come on, answer the question.
No, but Don, I'm not on the board.
Well, why are you speaking up?
Because I love the club, and I'm not going to have the club's reputation continually maligned by the AFL that says we have acted inappropriately and we've brought the game into disrepute.
Have Hawthorn been in contact with you to try and curtail what you are doing?
No.
Now, are you Catholic or Protestant?
Well, depends on the day.
Well, that's right. So if you're Catholic, you'd be in the confession box tomorrow. You're telling lies.
He's a Muslim.
No, hang on. That is not fair and it's not right. I have not spoken to Gowers. I haven't spoken
Has
to...
Has he invited you to speak with him?
Well, not in recent times.
He has. In other words, he has. So we've got that, and you've obviously declined his invitation. Now, anybody from the media department at Hawthorn contacted you?
No. Don, you've got to understand, I haven't seen any of the documentation they've got from the AFL whatsoever.
No, we're not talking about documentation. I'm trying to ask you whether they've tried to curtail you speaking out.
No, they certainly haven't. I have not had anyone speak to me saying, you've got no right to make these comments. I'm a member of the club. I'm a proud member. Let me just say this. I very much doubt that anyone who assesses the process can say that Hawthorn acted irresponsibly. We acted correctly. Where I think we're at now, seeing you ask the question, I think the heat will go out of this and that it will be left up to the players and their lawyers to decide whether they take it any further. And whether that's to the Human Rights Commission, anywhere else, that's fine. What the people did who leaked the story to the ABC has done has made sure that this issue is not going to be settled as they had hoped. That is, to make claims against three individuals and get compensation.
No.
Under no circumstances will I stay and remain quiet, not that I've been overly quiet, if any part of Hawthorn pays compensation to people to make allegations that have not been proved, right? You can't go around slandering people and not being prepared to face the music, to be named and have your claims tested. So I think they're all the families now have got to make a very big decision, and that is whether, because some of their own leaked the story, are they now going to pursue the matter elsewhere?
Now, just before we let you go, Jeff, and we really appreciate you jumping on the line for us, and I'm asking much calmer questions that Don, who's got a head of steam up over there.
I can understand. He's a Hawthorn member. We've all got a head of steam up,
all right,
Sam.
Right, good. Well, I'm good. I'll take that on advisement. Have you actually ever spoken to Clarkson or Fagan about this matter? And Bert,
and there's a fourth person involved now.
I'm sorry, Don. Have you ever spoken to the four principals involved in this saga? And have you actually ever spoken to the players who are accusing the club?
I have exchanged emails with Jason Bert and Fags. I sent a message to Alistair some time ago, but he didn't respond. So the answer to your question is yes, with two of them by text messages. No to Alistair, although I tried. I've tried many, many times to have exchanges with Cyril over the years because we did have a good relationship up until he went. And we have exchanged emails and texts over the time because I'm often up in Darwin. So I've done that. With the others, players, no, although I have a high regard for one in particular, Carl Peterson, who's, I have a painting of Carl's in my home. We had a good relationship, and I didn't know till yesterday that there was a fourth Hawthorn employee involved.
Could I just ask you this? Why can't you tell us what you give us an inkling as to what you spoke to Mr. McLaughlin about yesterday? Was it to chastise him about?
All right. Your hard questioning has broken me down. I'm now weakened and feebled. I do know, and I can tell you, that I asked him whether he wanted a cup of tea or coffee.
He asked me that 80 months ago. He asked me that, and I'm still waiting to meet him for coffee. This is after he charged us with vilification for discussing a matter. Yep.
Well, you asked me what I discussed. I will disclose that and nothing else, right?
Well, look, thanks.
No, you're a hard journalist trying to get to the truth, but I'm not going to disclose a private conversation. And I've had many private conversations with Bill, and we get on well, and we've met many times.
You wouldn't say you're getting on well with him at the minute, if they're threatening.
Yeah, well, funnily enough, I think we are. I've made my case very strongly publicly. He understands that. We have disagreements at time to time, but just like you're a good example, Don. You never thought highly of me. We've had disagreements.
No. Hang on. Oh. I'm critical of you and the way you did some of the things at the football club.
But
you know that.
But
we won four premierships, Don. Don't forget that either.
You what?
We won four premierships, for God's sake. That's not bad.
So what's that got to do with the fact that I like you or dislike you?
Well, you like successful people, Don.
No,
why
I don't.
Jeff, why don't you ask him round to the man cave like we went round the other day with Phoebe, Fiona Byrne? Why don't you ask Don? He might like a nip of a single malt scotch down there. It might settle him down a bit.
Well, I'll tell you what we might do. Why don't we ask Gil around? With the two of you, and I'll be there, and I'll be home.
Bullshit! I wouldn't.
Don, there's an old saying.
There's
an old saying, Don. You keep your enemies, you keep your friends close, and you keep your enemies closer.
Yeah. Can I just say, gentlemen, I am very confident that all matters around what has happened at Hawthorn will be resolved in the very near future, with one exception. It'll now be up to the players and their families who made the allegations to decide whether they take the matter.
And you're going to convey that to the Hawthorn board?
No. I think the Hawthorn board understands my position. I've made it public. I've put an article in the Herald Sun today. As I said, I haven't spoken to the board. The board hasn't spoken to me. I think there is a chance that I am going to be asked to be interviewed. I haven't heard this officially, but I might be interviewed by Stephen Mead, who is the AFL's general counsel, about the way the report was handled. But if I am asked, I'll assist, because again, I say Hawthorn has nothing to be ashamed of whatsoever. Finally,
Don wants. I've had to restrain him. I've had to put a tether on him. He wants one more question.
Yes, Jeff, go for it, Don.
Jeff, yes. I haven't heard whether the $10 million that was promised by the current president, if you were to go, he had 10 people willing to put $1 million into Hawthorn's coffers if you went. Do you know if that $10 million has
ever
been
eventuated?
Yes.
No, I don't think it has.
You don't know?
I can't give you a 100% guaranteed answer, but my information is no, it hasn't arrived at the club. The claim was made. The claim has now been refuted. In other words, Mr. Gowers has said that he never made that claim in the first place, which is not correct.
That's rubbish.
The bigger question is, I think you can ask Mr. Gowers, is whether he is financially contributing, as all directors did.
He won't come on our podcast.
He'll only speak to us if we play golf with him at either Royal Melbourne or Point Lonsdale. That's what he told us.
Well, the most important thing now is to get this issue resolved as best we can. As I said, I think there is clear water approaching, and then it'll be up to the Indigenous families to decide whether they want to take it further.
Now, Lord Kennett, Viscount Jeff Kennett, we really appreciate you taking the call, because you're a good man, Don thinks you're a good man, as we all do. So thank you very much for jumping on the line for us.
Great pleasure. You have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Donald.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
Oh, no, that's a little, don't overdo it, Don. For
what
do
you?
Sake. Well, is he off? It doesn't matter if he's not, but I just.
Well, turn your phone off.
I've turned my phone off. It doesn't matter if he listens to this, but I don't want him to have to listen to this mundane stuff.
Can we have a break, please?
Yes. Is he off?
I'd have to say.
Hang on.
Yeah, hang on. Don't cut Sue off.
I'm
You're
not.
Rude.
I'm just saying.
Oh, geez, you speak
I'm
over everyone.
I'm just saying, we've turned the phone off, has he? He's not listening. I don't care if he's listening, but he doesn't want to be part of all this. So, all right, go ahead, Sue, please.
I'd have to say that would be probably the most sensible interview that I've heard. Don, what happened to you?
Hang on, I haven't got your microphone on. Say that again. Sorry, Sue, I didn't realise. Say it again. Go on, please.
I'd have to say that was probably the most sensible interview that I've heard from you guys.
From Don.
But Don,
what do you mean?
Don, you've got to get the emotion out.
Yeah, you.
You're very emotional.
To shout at him. The cadence bars have gone burlesque here.
Yeah, he
haven't you
up
ever been emotionally involved in any situation, Sue?
Well, intelligent involved are two different things.
No. Haven't you ever been emotionally involved in any situation?
You can't speak and think clearly, Don, if you're emotionally involved in something.
No, but you can
something.
Put some feeling in, Sue.
Well, you shouted at him.
Well, can't. I had to shout over you.
No, you didn't.
I did to try and get a question in.
You do. I'm very happy, Don. You took the whole of that interview.
Indeed, didn't
you?
Because you've got no idea of what you're talking about.
Thank you, Don. That's exactly right. You're
Sue, a bit of sanity, please. Yes,
you're intimately involved.
Shut up. Oh. Anything else, Sue?
I thought you did very well. Just
thank
probably
you.
Loaded the cadence would have been nice.
Yeah.
What would the cadence?
I had to turn my hearing aids down.
No, he could have heard me. He's out in Vork.
I know. You just got to just relax, man.
I know.
What do you reckon he said to Gil? Holy mackerel. I know what he said to Gil.
Do you want tea or coffee?
No, yeah, that would have been... I think coffee might have been fuck-offee. Would you like some fuck-offee? Let's go for coffee. And he said, what? He said, yeah, fuck-offee. That'd be a play on words, Don. Maybe he didn't say that. I don't know what he said. Anyhow, it wasn't good of him to come on, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You asked some very good questions, Don.
I had no idea about it.
That's why you took over the whole thing. Thank heavens we've got onto a subject that you're emotionally involved with. Now, I think that's enough.
And also the Murray.
How long has this been going on? This has been going for an hour. That's been going for an hour. That's it.
Night. I'm worried because